This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, good afternoon, Mike.
Hello. How are you?
I am great, but kind of sad. Well, go ahead. I'll let you do it.
Sad? Why are you sad?
Well, I'm not going to blow your, steal your thunder.
Steal my thunder? What's that mean? Well, welcome to the show. This is about your lawns, your gardens, your shrubs, your trees.
Wait a second here. So there's this alleged rumor that you're really going to retire?
Well, yeah, kind of, sort of. This is my last show.
At your young age?
Yeah, I'm only 28.
I think that's fake news. So, do you remember, is it 20 years, 21 years?
I don't know. I lost track around 18, so I think it's 21. We're into 21.
Let's go with that.
Yeah, right. It's a long time. Where's my retirement check, by the way?
We'll get back to you on that.
Yeah.
Right. After the show.
Right. That's what they all say.
So, do you want to tell people what led to this beginning?
What led to this beginning? Yeah. Well, one day I just finished my stint as a county commissioner, and my wife and I were going to Eugene to pick up a load of plants, and I stopped in at Casey's for breakfast, and Pat Markham was in there, and I walked over to Pat, and I said, "Hey, Pat, you have all kinds of shows on the radio. You ever thought of having a gardening show?" And he says, "No, well, that sounds like a good idea. Why don't you make me a proposal?" I said, "Huh, okay." And I sat down. I thought, that's pretty easy, a proposal, right? So how in the world do I make a proposal about a gardening show? And I let it go for a few days. And I get a call one day, and it was Pat Markham. "Hey, Mike, you got my proposal ready?" I says, "Yeah, I'll be there at 3 o'clock this afternoon." He says, "That's great." He hung up, and I sat down and I wrote the proposal out at that point in time. And,
nice.
And I can't even remember what I said or what I wrote, but I wrote it down. And so I went in, and I said, "Here's my proposal." And he says, "Well, looks good. You can start next week." I said, "Okay."
That was it.
That was the whole nine yards. No contracts or nothing, man. He trusted me to show up.
Well, the rest is history.
I guess it's real ancient history by now, huh? Is that what you wanted to hear, Kyle?
Well, no, I wanted to hear that you decided that you'd previously lost your mind and weren't going to retire.
Well, even in my, quote, retirement, I'm still fairly busy doing other ancillary things. So
yeah,
that's how that goes.
So you're keeping busy.
Oh, yeah, I'm not sleeping all day, that's for sure. And I couldn't sleep all day if I wanted to.
Look what just arrived.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
what
my
in the
goodness.
World?
You think that we would?
Look at this. Look at this.
Do you think we wouldn't give you a big send-off?
Wow.
We can't remember how many 20 years, 22 years, but we know it's been a lot of years. And we love you, and we will miss you.
Well, thank you. They brought me a cake with only 3 candles on it.
Well, we were, given your age, we there's a lot of FCC rules. We could really only put – we're going to probably set off the fire alarm as it is.
Well, okay, but I don't want to get sprayed with any of that poison stuff, to put the fire out on me, okay?
You can blow them out.
They're I can
sparkly.
Blow them out? Okay. Yeah. I'll be off the air for 2 seconds.
All right. Go for it. Whoa.
Yay.
There you go. Got it.
I got all 3 of them 4 breaths. Well, thank you very much. I mean,
now we're going to take this out and put it out there before you spill it on something in the nice, clean, sanitized studio. So we'll get back to you with the cake.
So in other words, I won't put my elbow in it while I'm...
Leave it in here for the 2 of us.
And get excited.
Bring me a slice.
Thank you. Man, that's a surprise, for crying out loud.
Yeah, see, we don't forget you.
Yeah, we can party afterwards. I mean, keep all the silverware handy. Wow, a cake and a card. My gosh, should I read the card in public? Is it safe to do that?
They didn't let me sign it.
Well, huh. He says, well, it's about time you left.
Your show should have been off years ago.
Years ago. You wasted a lot of our time. Sincerely, the staff. No, they didn't say that. It says, you really made a difference. Thank you for 20-plus years of radio magic. We will miss you. Love all of us at BCI. But what's BCI stand for?
Brook Communications
Institute. Oh, they're all great people here. They all harass me all the time, every time they get a chance. And but it's been a fun 20 years, and it's kept me very sharp because I do a lot of research for all these shows. And not only do I rely on my personal knowledge of 50 years in the landscaping and nursery business, but you continue to learn. I mean, that's how it is.
That's right.
And I'm learning new things, and I got a library full of books on landscaping, on plants, on just anything that had to do with my industry, so that I could be at the top of the heap throughout all the years, and that's what I tried to do. And when we had the where you vote the best business and the best business. Well, Wintergreen won 23 years in a row, first place.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I was there.
I saved all the copies. I know. I look at them every day.
Got them framed.
Yeah, got them framed, all of them. You can't see my walls because of
the awards.
All the awards and stuff. But anyway, I thank all the listening public and the people that I did business with and all that. And I made a lot of great friends and who are still friends today. And occasionally they still call me and say, these trees you put in, they're growing too fast. They're going to fall on the house. And I said, no, they're not going to fall on the house, for goodness sakes. Go out and take a look at them and, do a little bit of pruning and a little bit of fixing. And everything is copacetic after that. So, but it's been a fun 20 years. It's been
fast.
Fast. I never knew 20 years could go by so quickly.
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
It didn't go quickly from age 1 to age 20. It was kind of a drag almost. Some of it was, especially in high school. But the Marine Corps was fun. I had a great time in the Marine Corps. Right. Should we get on with the show now, or should we just continue to reminisce?
Well, I guess we can do both.
Oh, do both? Okay.
How about some listeners calling in? What's our number?
Oh, yeah, 673-4464. I'll never forget that number. It's ingrained in my brain. Somebody else asked me for my home phone number, and I'll say 673-4464. So if you have a question about any of your landscaping, shrubs, pruning, tilling, lawns, fertilization, whatever, don't be hesitant to call. 673-4464. And I hope you, over the years, that I've helped you and that we've learned some things. My goodness gracious, now we're served cake. Yeah. Where's the ice cream, for crying out loud?
Oh, my goodness. I'll go get some real quick.
No, I'm kidding. It's going to be hard to do the show eating cake. I'm going to have to do it during the commercials.
No, you go ahead. I can do it.
No, you don't know what I'm going to say. Excuse me. Yeah. He's eating his cake now.
Delicious.
And I'm looking at mine. And so, okay. But, like I say, questions, any of your landscape problems, lawn problems, whatever, 673-4464. I've really enjoyed the last 20 years doing this. I look forward to it every week, and I come up with a lot of different, sometimes odd subject matter, but it all has to do with landscaping or maintenance or any of that kind of thing. And I get a lot of good questions. I don't know how many questions I've had over that many years. Usually we get about an average of, what, three? Sometimes four. I think one time we got five. And
the record breaker was 7-8.
Was it? Yeah. It took almost a whole hour.
Hour.
To do that.
Yeah. We loved it.
Yeah. I didn't have to say anything. I saved all my notes for the next show.
We do have another call here.
Okay, well, we're on.
Hey, good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike Winters. Anybody there?
Hello?
Uh-oh, they hung up.
They hung up. Well, don't hang up.
Oh, there they are. I'll try it again.
All
right. Are you there? We're on the air with Mike Winters.
I'm there.
Okay, good.
I got a simple, a very, very simple question. How often in the wintertime should I fertilize my lawn?
None.
Really?
Right. If you can fertilize it now for a fall feeding, and the grass won't receive a lot of nutrition, it'll be very slow because it's cold, it's rainy, and so the intake of the fertilizer from the grassroots is going to be extremely slow. But what it does, it stays there until the weather warms up, say in February, you know, end of February, where it starts to get warmer, and then it'll really suck it up and grow like grow like crazy. And you'll say, "What do I got to mow my lawn in March for?" It's
it's a
foot long.
I fertilized a month ago, so leave it alone for the rest of winter.
Yeah, leave it alone till a month ago. What'd you do it with? Do you remember? What kind of fertilizer?
With I bought it at the place over there. I don't know the name, but it was a wholesale kind of a place.
Okay, but it say lawn food on it or just fertilizer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lawn fertilizer, basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you're
lots
good.
Lots of iron in it.
Good. Yeah. Good. That's the greening component. It really,
okay.
You're good till
What do I need to do to get a piece of cake? How do I do that?
Come on down. We got a big piece of cake here, and we'll only charge you $18.95.
There you go.
All right. Thank you so much. Bye bye.
Thank you for the call. Bye bye.
All right, Mike. You can eat your cake. We'll take a break.
Oh, I don't know, man.
We'll be right back.
Looks pretty fancy to me.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Oh, a lack of communication.
You think?
Hey, we're back and we have a phone call right here. Hey, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Oh, Mike, this is Dale. How you doing today, buddy?
Hey, good. How are you? It's warm in this little studio.
Well, we planted that stuff like you told us, and now we got to know. I got the wife here with me. How far back do you trim the roses, and what do you do with those mums that you told us to plant? Do you trim them back or just leave them alone?
Well, are there flowers still on them, on the mums?
You know, we got some that are white. They're still white, but the other ones are.
Okay, and how tall are the mums?
Maybe a half foot.
Half a foot, that's all?
Yeah, we just put them in.
Okay. Well, let the flowers go until they finally die, and then cut it back about 50%.
What the roses?
How about the roses?
The roses, are they old, young, or what?
We planted them all in August. They're probably about 2 or 3 feet. The deer did a pretty good job holding them back.
Well, that's a good sign. They pruned them for free. Are there multiple stems or just a few stems on the bush itself?
There's multiple stems.
Well, go ahead and take out, say, 50% of the weakest, skinniest looking stems, and then the ones that are left, prune them back about 50%.
All right, right to the stem.
Well, not you know, if the plant is 2 feet tall, cut them back to a foot.
Yeah, no, but the vines or the leaves or anything still left on them, you snip them off too.
No, you wouldn't have to; they'll just fall off.
And then those very bushy trees that you had as plant along the side, they're kind of getting brown. Do you put any fertilizer on them during the winter?
It wouldn't really do a lot of good until about February, mid-February or so, when the weather finally, you know, begins to warm up consistently and we get more consistent sunshine. And then as the ground temperature warms up, the root systems warm up, and consequently then it begins to send the juices up through the plant. How large are they, the ones you're talking about?
They're probably about 5 feet tall.
5 feet tall? Are they like Mugo pines or? Do you know what they are?
They're like the evergreen, the ones you told us to put there on the side of the house to give us some privacy between the yards.
Oh, I see.
They're kind of like green things.
Okay. What, they have leaves?
No.
All the leaves are off?
No, they just stay green all the time.
Oh, they're an evergreen then.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You could take them down about a third. If they were 3 feet tall, you could take them down to about 2 feet. And thin out, you know, if there's multiple stems coming up and where they're really close together, get in there and thin out the weakest, skinniest looking ones and leave the good ones for next spring, and you'll see a real difference in the plant.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we really have enjoyed your show over the years, buddy. We'll miss you.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you saying that.
I will come by and get some cake.
Okay.
Okay.
We got a whole bunch, man.
Thanks.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. That opens up our lines here.
Well, okay.
673.
Oh, 673-4464.
There we go.
I got to keep saying that number over and over after all these years. My gosh.
Oh, I'm the last Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. Oh, Can you believe that?
Yeah, this is it. I'm retiring. It's either 20 or 21 years. I can't remember.
Boy, all the lines are lit up here, Mike.
Hey, okay.
Hey, good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Wow. A row of them. 40 years old? Jeez.
Wow.
And how tall are they now? Well, that's good. That's good. That's not a problem. And trust me, I cut a rose hedge right to the ground one time to get rid of it, because it was in front of my old house in Roseburg.
Yep.
And it would grow and it would be crazy and flop all over the place. So I thought I was going to kill it, and I took a chainsaw out there and right down to the ground. Well, it came back like gangbusters, and it was the most beautiful rose hedge you ever saw in about 2 months after I cut it. So you can't hurt a rose. If it's 5 feet tall, cut 2.5-3 feet off of it. But you want to thin out, if there's multiple stems, you want to thin out some of those stems so you can increase the air circulation, and that helps to keep the mildew and any of the bugs from having a place to winter over, that kind of thing, and let the elements get at it, and it'll do a lot better for you. But you can't hurt it at all. And then, go ahead. Uh-huh. Yeah, if they're new shoots, cut the new shoots off at the base. Just leave the main stems, and you'll get a whole lot of new growth starting in February, March, somewhere in there. It depends on the weather, of course. Yeah. Well, that's a lot of branches, and what happens is there's too many branches. Any roses you might get will be small and not healthy. So you want to thin out all those little branches, so whatever bud comes out, it has room to grow and has the sunlight and the air circulation around it. You can't hurt a rose, honest, for real life. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for calling. I appreciate your call.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Any more calls? 673-4464. This is the last show at the OK Corral, so if you have a question, don't hesitate to ask.
Somebody does. Hey, good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hey, you guys. I was the first guy called today, actually, but you guys were BSing, and nobody responded to me, so I hung up.
Well, we tried to get you back. We tried to get you back, but you wouldn't come back.
So what you got on your mind? What do you got on your mind, sir?
I just wanted to say, hey, goodbye, Mike. You've been awesome. You're a wonderful human being. And I've appreciated and enjoyed your show for probably 10 years.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I just wanted to say, you know, I couldn't even follow you in the Beacon. You got a little blip going in there.
Yeah, I'm going to still write my little column in the Beacon, yes.
Okay, well, I just want to let you know that we appreciate you. And I don't know what Dale's going to do next week. What the heck's he going to do for...
Oh, he'll probably I don't know. He'll make something up.
I'm still pondering.
Well, I don't have any problems with my plants. I just wanted to say that you've been great. I wanted to say thank you and happy. It's a retirement. I don't know if it's a retirement. Just moving on with life. It's another page.
Yep. I'm trying to figure that one out now. This retirement business is strange.
I called you a few weeks back. I was the guy that called you about air rooting. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
A few weeks back? Yeah. So that was me. Uh-huh. I'm here piddling in my shop right now, making countertops. So I just wanted to say goodbye and thank you for all you've done.
You're sure welcome, and I appreciate your call.
Okay, take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, sir.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, there we go. Are you all right over there?
No, I'm not.
I thought you were getting all choked up.
Oh, I am choked up, but I'm sick, I think.
I'm out of here.
Yeah. Well, I can't run any of those. All I do is talk, man.
Kyle's still here, isn't he?
Oh, God. You know, this time of year is kind of a mixed bag for landscaping and all that. There's so many things that I wanted to do out in my own yard, but my wants were more than my time would allow. And now I got more time than my wants want to allow.
Yeah. Funny how that works.
Yeah. And if that happens to you, maybe your list is too long, because I have I make these lists and I'm going to do this and this and this and that and that and all that. But I found out there's a simple fix to that. Make a shorter list and ignore the rest. And my problem is always I'm over list. I get way too many. So this time of year, you know, you're looking at your yard and you say, well, what's the bottom line here? Maybe the lawn is too large and it's a real grind to keep it mowed and edged and fertilized. And what do I do now? Well, you can hire some landscaper to remodel the lawn to a reasonable size, like maybe remove 50% of it if you have the courage to do that. And your spouse won't hit you. And then convert the area to a vegetable garden or a sand dune or a special planter. But whatever plan you come up with, reduces your hours of labor. Lawns are labor intensive. Not only do they have to be cut on a regular basis, but they have to be watered and they have to be fed. If you want a healthy lawn, you want something that's green come June and July when everybody else seems to be turning brown because they're not watering properly or they got too much thatch and haven't fertilized, you know.
That's hard to keep up with.
Sure it is. So reduce your lawn size. You know, make it manageable so you're not a slave to it. Then you can pour your energy into whatever is left. You can make that, a primo-looking lawn. If it needs aeration, you aerate it, poking holes, pulling the plugs out. Thatch it and take all the dead stuff out. If it's an old lawn, 5, 6, 7, 10 years old or 20 years old, you rent a thatcher, go through, thin it out. I mean, right now that's too wet to do, but as soon as we get a good dry a dry week, say. It could be in February.
July.
July, for crying out loud. But February, March, right in there, right as spring is really kicking into high gear, you thin it out so that which is left is going to grow really well. You thin it, you plug it, and you fertilize it, and you'll be amazed at the transformation that lawn will make and how much easier it will be to take care of because it's not thick and choking itself to death. Mm. Because that that thatch over the years builds up. And you think you're watering enough, but the thatch, you think of a thatched roof in the southern hemisphere where people actually live in thatched huts.
I was going to say Philippines, but I don't know.
Yeah, Philippines.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I stopped in the Philippines on the way to Vietnam when I was a young man. a lot of thatched huts there.
Okay.
But I've been on a couple of, I've been to Guatemala four times on mission trips, and the people that we... worked with lived high up in the mountains of Guatemala, like at a 5,000 foot elevation,
like where Folgers grew.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, a lot of coffee in that country, and they had all thatched roofs. Everybody had a thatched roof. Keeps all the rain out. It rains admirably in Guatemala. I'll tell you, when it's raining, baby, it's raining.
It's not fooling around.
No, but you know, and the thatched roof works really well. But your lawn, see, will if it's built up with thatch after, you know, say 5, 10, 15 years, whatever fertilizer you're putting on is not actually penetrating the root zone. It's just kind of laying on top, and it gets the grass gets some foliar feeding, but it doesn't do the job. It's like if you sat down to a steak dinner and took a bite of steak and chewed it up and spit it out. I mean, it didn't go down the right spot. You have to have... You have to have a pathway for that fertilizer to get down below the thatch. And the way you do that, like I say, is rent a thatching machine, comb all the dead stuff out, and it'll look like there was a football game on it. And you think, oh, my gosh, I ruined my lawn. No, you didn't. You gave it some breathing space.
You scored a touchdown,
and then you aerate it, which is pulling the plugs out. And then you fertilize it, and when you water then, the fertilizer actually gets down into the root zone, and you see a transformation on that lawn. And that's as simple as it gets. And you got your hand on the trigger.
It's time for another break already.
Okay, we'll be back in a minute or two.
And what's our phone number?
673-4464. And so far, I've had some really good phone calls. I appreciate it very much.
You betcha. And we have time for more on the Last Mike Winners Lawn and Garden Show.
Yep.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Yes, and this is the Last Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show, and we do have another phone call. Hey there, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Okay, I'm a longtime listener and second-time caller. Yeah. How you doing, brother?
Yeah, I knew it was you.
Yeah. Anyway... I just want to kind of congratulate you on your longevity. I mean, I've been listening to you for 20-plus years.
Well, you never take my advice,
yeah. Yes, I do. And, it's you know, the hardest part is getting old lady Smith and Jones to quit watering their plants and killing them.
I know. That's the hardest part.
Yeah, that's the hardest part. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. I've yarded out more saturated plants in my 20 plus years of being away from your organization than drought. They seem to thrive in the drought.
Yeah, they do. Most of them do. Most of them like roses, bugle pines, junipers, you know.
Yeah.
Just about anything.
Anyway, all of those people out there in Radio Land, I hope you've listened to Mike well and you've taken his advice because he just wants you to be successful, just as I've been successful. Because of being at his elbow for so many years, I just want to tell you that.
Oh, that's
yep.
Nice.
Yep. Hey, I'm still going to bug you.
Yeah.
He's going to hang up when you
all
call.
Right, well, anyway, congratulations and God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. See you guys later. All Happy right. New Year.
Oh, pretty close, yeah. What is it? Sunday, New Year's Eve.
Really?
Yes. You believe that?
Where did your year go?
Yeah. Same question from here. Phone number.
I forgot it. 673-4464. If you have a question or a comment, please call. We'll take it.
In fact, good time now. Lines are completely, open. Yeah.
But, you know, wintertime, you know, some people say, the winter, I can't do this, I can't do that. But there is some things you can do. It's a great time for planning your landscape, you know, because it's cold, it's frosty, it's wet, you know. It's a time to look at your yard and come up with a plan, and you don't feel guilty that you haven't done anything in your yard. And plans are cool to do. You know, the first step is, if you have no idea at all, you ride around your neighborhood and look at stuff wow, that looks cool. That looks good.
Yeah.
Maybe I could do that. Maybe I could do this. And then maybe go to a nursery or call a landscaper for a consultation. I still do consultations on the side, by the way. And, and that basically is walk around the yard, ask questions about what the homeowner would like to have, what they like to see, the types of plants they like, the types they don't like, and just talk to them and draw a couple of quick sketches and list a bunch of plants that would work in their yard for what they're trying to achieve, and then they can do the job. And then they have some sort of a guideline in which to, get started and get going. That's the thing. In my house, my first house when I moved in, and I've told you a lot of stories about that place, it was so overgrown with stuff. And you know, it was almost depressing, for crying out loud. And all I could do at that point in time was, chop down the weeds and try to figure out what the heck am I going to do now. You know, I got an 80-foot rose hedge. I got these trees all over the place. And so I just started very slowly clearing some of the things, cutting down things, removing things, taking trees out, beginning to prune them. And, it took me 2-3 years to get it to where I wanted it. But when it was finished, it went from the worst yard on the street to the nicest yard on the street. And my neighbor across the street, I've told this story before, Harry Hill, lived across the street from me up on Leland Street, owned Hill's Shoe Repair. And he'd come over and shake his head and say, the older people that lived here before, they planted this and they planted that and blah, blah, blah. And he wasn't being, he was trying to be neighborly to me, and I appreciated it. But he also gave me the incentive to clean up the place. and it was the worst, like I say, it was the worst place on Leland Street. It was the most overgrown, had the most trees, most shrubs, most roses, most of everything. Because the old folks that lived there before, they lived there for 40, 50 years, I forget. And they planted one of everything that they could find. But it worked out really well. But it took some time to get it under control. Like I say, 3 years it took me to finally get it to where it looked nice. And I still made some mistakes at that point in time because I was, I created a small planter along the edge of my driveway. And it was small. It was like 3 feet wide and maybe, 10 feet long. And at that time, Payless downtown had a bunch of these little tiny junipers on sale for like $1 a piece or something.
Wow.
So I bought 4 of them or 5 of them. And I thought, well, they're cute. Not really realizing how large they would get, I planted them in this 3 foot wide, 10 foot long planter.
Oh, no.
All 5 of them. And they looked really cute for about 3 years.
Yeah.
And then when they started, scratching the car as the car came in the driveway, not scratching it, but rubbing up against it.
Right, right.
And I let them go another year. And then I says, I made the wrong selection of plant materials for this particular spot. I ripped them all out.
Oh, did you?
I got rid of them. And I put little tiny miniature things in there instead. dead.
Oh, they didn't come back?
No, they don't come back. Not when you dig them up by the roots and put them on the burn pile. They do not come
burn,
back.
Burn, baby.
Burn, baby, burn. But, you know, at that time, Payless had them on sale, like I say, for 49 cents a piece.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Now they're like $9.99 or something like that for a gallon juniper, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Inflation hit us in the pocketbook big time. But now's the time. Things are dormant. They will be dormant probably for another 60 days before we see any real growth. Go ahead and get out there and prune stuff. Remove it. Make some space for your existing plants. Get your fruit trees and your shrubs in shape for the spring. And, you know, get some get a plant catalog. They're free. They're at nurseries or in a bookstore or something like that. A small little catalog that says, lists all the plants with photos of these plants. And you can say, wow, man, that would look good in my yard. Or, oh, that's going to get too big for my yard. Be conscious of not buying too many of any one thing. Start small and give them a lot of space to grow. You can always add. It's easier to add than to try to take out an 8-foot juniper that's been in there for 5 years.
Yeah, this is my home.
Yeah, no, I'm not leaving. You go to dig me out. In fact, I had to pull some of the root systems out with my pickup truck. That's how how well rooted these stinking junipers were.
Well, you were doing something right.
Oh, yeah, using my truck. But that was all part of the all part of the learning process. But during high school, in my high school years, I created my own landscape maintenance business, but I didn't call it a landscape maintenance business, and I didn't have a license, and I was only 16 or 17 years old. But there was a thing at school that you could advertise your services it was a bulletin type of thing that was sent home to parents, and that's how I got these little jobs. And I just started by, you know, cleaning up the leaves and mowing the lawns, and I didn't do anything fancy because I didn't know exactly what to do at that time. Mm-hmm. You know, I got it clean, and I made a buck and a quarter an hour.
Oh, yeah. That was my first job, too,
buck and a quarter an hour. And you know, I was working almost every day after school, but I had so many credits piled up, I only had to go half a day to school. So I had the whole rest of the half a day to go work.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was okay. I was 17, for crying out loud. I had plenty of energy. It was easy to do.
Boy, did we ever.
Yeah, I don't know where it went. It somehow left me, and I don't know what's going on.
No, I don't like it.
You know, but like I say, look at these plant catalogs. Look at your neighborhood. Look at go through some nurseries. Look at some plants that, you know, strike your fancy. Ask the questions like, hey, how big will this get? How fast will it grow? How much do you water? How much do you fertilize? Can you prune it? Those are good, solid questions that any reliable nursery person should be able to answer very concisely, so that you know what you're getting before you get it home, put it in the ground, and find out that it got 10 feet wide instead of 3 feet wide, okay? Mm. And then that way you don't make the mistake of putting too many in and then 3 years later having to pull every one of them out, or every other one of them out. So, yeah. But anyway, there's trees, there's dwarf trees, there's semi-dwarf trees. Japanese maples are just a real beautiful little tree that you can plant. It grows slowly, very picturesque, very beautiful, very unique, and it doesn't need a whole lot of care once it's planted. As I've said many times on the show, maples planted on my hillside, after the first year, I never watered them, except maybe, July, August, to give them a bucket full that I carry from the creek. And that was only for the first 2 or 3 years. After that, I haven't watered them in years. And they've been up there, 15, maybe 20 years.
And they're still going.
Oh, they're beautiful. They're gorgeous. Nice. They grow like gangbusters, for crying out loud, on a south-facing hill. Yeah, full sun jobby-doo.
Very strange.
Well, you got your hand on the trigger. What's
up? Yeah, it's this time. Break time.
Break time. We'll be back.
All right. Phones are still available.
673-4464. Call with a question.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we're back. Last segment on the last show with Mike Winters.
Wow, where did time go, man?
I know, just like everything else. It goes quick.
Woo. Okay, well, part of my next subject is bare root season is here. It's beginning. That means if you want a fruit tree or a shade tree, the nurseries will have their bare root material in probably by, the end of January, 1st of February. Maybe some of them will even be quicker than that. I'm not sure. But bare root trees will save you a whole bunch of money. You know, if you buy a bare root tree, that means bare roots. It's not in a pot. It's just healed in and sawdust at the nursery. You pick the one you want, put it in your pickup, and get it home and cover the roots so they don't dry out. Then you dig the hole and get all your soil ready, like I've told you 10,000 times over the years, and plant them up. So a bare root, a fruit tree, they're semi-dwarf. It's going to run you anywhere from $12 to $15 or maybe $17 if it's something exotic. Versus when it's potted, the price doubles and triples simply because the cost of the pot, the cost of the labor, and the tree is, you know, fully leafed out and all that. And that's about the median price. So you can save a whole bunch of money by buying bare root stock. And what I tell people that come in, that have come into the nursery and want to know about the bare roots, I say, well, how many do you want? And, I want 3 apple trees and 3 cherry trees. And, you know, say they want 6 trees. I say, well, go home, dig the holes, get them prepared, get them big. That way, when you come and have your soil mix all ready to go beside the holes, then come in and get the trees, take them straight home, and bingo, you put them in the ground immediately, and you put the good soil in there and work it in around the roots with your hands. You have to do that so there's no air pockets. You give them some a shot of B1, which is a rooting hormone, which is just like an energy drink. It gets, whoa, man, then the tree goes and grows. Yeah. You can say, let's say you buy 10 trees and you spend $150 to $200 on 10 trees in the bare root season.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm just talking fruit trees at this point. Whereas you would spend triple that if you waited till they were potted up, fully leafed out, and been in the pot for 6 months.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, and then you start seeing how much money that is. But some people don't want to work out in the rain and the wet, and I understand that. It's not a whole lot of fun. You can't take your shirt off and get any rays. But
you could.
Yeah. And then the shade trees, you know, they're bigger. You know, when we were having bare root, our bare roots in, the fruit trees averaged, 8 feet in height, maybe. And then the shade trees were probably, most of them were about 12 feet tall. So they're a pretty good sized tree with a sizable root system on them as well. And so they're a little bit more work, but you plant them correctly, they're going to take off, they're going to grow, they're going to be great. And as I said 1,000 times in the past 20 years, don't overwater them. Just water them in to settle the soil around the roots with vitamin B1. It's called Liquinox Start. You can buy it at the co-op or just about any nursery should handle it. And they'll energize that root system and do a good job. And after that initial planting, you wait until, let's say you planted them the first week in February, and you gave them a shot of the B1, and they're ready to go, and they're sitting there. And the weather starts to warm up, and by March 1, you start to see little buds come out on on the branches, and your inclination, the natural inclination at that point is, I better water them.
Right.
Don't water them. Wait till about middle of April, 1st of May, before you give them a good shot of vitamin B1 again, because that by that time, see, the soil might be somewhat dry the first 4 inches, but you dig down in there a little bit, and the deeper you go, the wetter it gets. Mm-hmm. And so at the bottom of that hole that you dug, it's very wet, and all that wetness, if it stays in there and you add more to it, it'll rot the roots. You rot the hair roots, which are the little tiny roots that come out and actually bring the nutrition from the soil up into the tree. If there are no hair roots, the nutrition doesn't get into the tree, and as a result, the tree dies because you've killed it by smothering it with water.
Drowned it.
Yes. Leave it alone. Just let you're okay. And then after that, once it's established, a good soaking maybe once a month, in May and once in June, and maybe two waterings in July and August, and then just let it set for a while. But always have a way to test the soil moisture so you can see. If it's damp at all, a foot down or 18 inches down, if it's damp or even more than damp, leave it alone. Ignore it. It'll be okay. It's insulated down there, and it's just right for the tree. And the same way with shrubs. Of course, the shrubs are not going to be a foot deep. The root systems, usually, they'll probably be like 8-10 inches, maybe. And they're a little bit easier to check. And you can buy a water meter. It's like a thermometer thing with a long tube on it. You just stick it in the soil, and it tells you it's wet or dry.
Simple. That's it.
Yeah.
And that wraps it up already.
We're done?
We're done.
Well, I want to thank you all for listening. I enjoyed the show. I enjoyed your questions, and thank you for listening all these years. I hope I helped you. That was my goal.
Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome,
sir. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, it's been fun, hasn't it?
Yeah, it certainly has. News time. It's 5 o'clock.